Good morning. Thank you, praise band. Spring break. Ooh, there are a few people gone. That's all right. We're going to have fun today. Less people, it's less people I can make mad. So, 1:32 okay with you guys? Hey, listen, today's message out of Acts 3, just it kind of came from a few things going on in my own life and just some desires that I have in the ministry that God's given me here. And it also came from the four olive branch that we're going to launch in a couple of weeks, and also a class that I taught for Lead You this past term called The Insanity of Obedience. And for those of you folks that were in it, you know how I talked about I wanted to, you know, kind of just preach something from that material. This isn't actually from that material, but it just kind of just started resonating in my heart about just the importance of living a life of obedience. And sometimes the study of the insanity of obedience had a couple of missionaries in it. I think his name was Nick Ripken. That was not his actual name, because he was always in countries that were not receptive. So it's, you know, to protect the innocent, their names were changed. But anyway, just seeing how the life that they lived in obedience to Christ, they took persecution and they just had a rough time. But when it was tough is really the time that they needed to be obedient. Amen? And that's the way it is for us as well. It's easy to be obedient to Christ and His Word and what He's calling us to do when things are going well. When it's really tough is when we should really be obedient. And so this morning in this passage, and I've entitled the message, Hope, Give It Away, I hope that you're just receptive. So I want to challenge you right now just to be open, first with God and be open with yourself. Be open to the Scriptures and what God will say to you through His Word this morning. And I think in this passage, what we see is there are two different people that we're gonna look at this morning. And one of these people in this passage is just a broken human being. And you know what? There's some of us that are filled with pride and selfishness and lust and anger and anxiety. And some of us in this room today are filled with impatience. And all of these things have imprisoned us and kept us outside of the place of God's blessings for us. And, you know, maybe we still have an area in our life that is still broken and maybe needs the healing power of God and His gracious restoration to a healthy functioning in life. I mean, we all need that, right? And when you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're either in His will or you're outside of His will. And a lot of times when you're outside of His will or in His will, it depends on our obedience, right? Look, I know it's a small crowd, but please humor me. I at least don't fall asleep today. And an amen or two wouldn't hurt because I hate asking for them. But I hope to connect with you today. And I more so, not just me, but God's Word and this story. So there's two people that we see, a man that's broken, okay? And I think from that, you know, we've got to check ourselves as well. Are we going to be that broken man, or are we going to be like Peter and John that go and share hope? And the reason they share hope is because they have hope, and the kind of hope that only comes from Jesus Christ. You know, the healing power of Jesus Christ is far more valuable than anything that we could ever imagine. And the awesome power of Jesus, it heals broken people. And on the flip side, you know, sharing can be kind of difficult. We see Peter and John share with this man. And we're going to get to the Scriptures, I promise. I'm just kind of setting this up. And you know, for example, as a child, think about when you were a child. It was kind of hard to share toys, wasn't it? You know, even as adults, I mean, how many of us have bought a new vehicle and then a buddy calls us and said, "Hey, Charlie, can I use your truck? I've got to move." No, it's really hard to share things, isn't it? You know, the other day I was taking my son to school. He's four, and when I take him to school, or even at night when I lay him down and pray with him, we always talk about how we treat others. And I always encourage him to help people in class. And so he's still four. I wish I was. They still get to take a nap during the day. And so I tell him, hey, look, help one of the girls or one of your buddies roll their mat up. Okay, Dad, yeah, I'll do that. You know, buddy, when you're at your stations, why help people pick up their crayons and their pencils, and if they need some help with lunch, help them, okay? And he's like, yeah, Dad, you got it, I will. Then I said, buddy, listen, you know, as you're playing on the playground or you're playing in the room and you're playing with your toys, share those toys with others. And he was like, Dad, I can't do that. So sharing is difficult, isn't it? It is difficult. But sharing doesn't always mean less or that you may lose possession of something. Think about it. You know, if you've seen a good movie or a great book, you want to share that experience with those around you so they can have that same experience, right? Hope is always something that we can share without losing. When hope takes a foothold in our lives, it affects our actions, it affects our words, it affects our attitudes and even our emotions. And listen, when people around you are seeking joy or hope, and when they encounter you, they notice your hope. So church, as Christians, that is something that we should have a tattoo across our forehead or wear it on our sleeve, that we have hope. We can't hide hope from people. The world now, more than probably ever, they need the hope that we have that's in Jesus Christ. People are drawn to it. And so this morning, the Bible tells us a story of Peter and John's reaction or their interaction with the crippled beggar, okay? And they had no money or resources to give, but they had the hope that's in Christ. And the way that they shared that hope changed that man's life forever. Not just for a day, forever. So let's read in Acts chapter 3. We're gonna break it down and go through a few verses at a time, okay? So the first point comes from verses 1 through 4. So listen, when it comes to hope, and the hope that only Christ can give us, and in giving that away, first we have to make ourselves available. Make yourself available. And watch how Peter and John allowed God to use them. Acts 3, verses 1 through 4. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And a man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he could beg from those entering the temple. Verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. God, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. God, I know many people in this room are living that life, God, where they understand the hope that you give them. And they live that out and pouring it into others. And Father, there are also people in this room today, God, that are broken and they're busted. And they're kind of like the crippled beggar where they don't really know where else to turn. And so I pray today, God, that your word will just come into our hearts and in our minds, God. And I pray, Father, for you to do a mighty work this morning. God, we love you. We lift this time up to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see Peter and John, how they made themselves available. Act 3 tells us of an otherwise typical day for Peter and John. And it states in the scriptures that it was 3 p.m. and they were heading to the temple at the hour of prayer. They weren't necessarily on mission to heal anyone. They were just going about their day, about their mission, okay, about their daily routines. And that's kind of the thing about serving and loving on others, isn't it? Many times we don't have to go looking for those opportunities. Sometimes if we make ourselves available and we're in that mindset of God knows when we're where we need to be, He's going to bring people into our lives. He's going to provide those opportunities for us. And I think that's what we see happen to Peter and John in this passage. You know, many times God brings them to us. Then it is on us to be able to discern what He is up to. And I love that word availability. Make yourselves available like Peter and John did. Listen, what we need to do is to ask ourselves these questions when it comes to opportunities to share and to love and to serve others. The first one is this. Will we have the eyes to see the need that is before us? Look, we encounter people. I know I do. We all do. We all encounter people every single day in our lives. Do you have the eyes to see the people that need hope? Also, will we have the courage to do what God calls us to do? It's one thing to be able to identify people that we come across in life that need hope, but it's another thing to have the courage to take that step of faith and to reach out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, or maybe do a good deed for somebody that's in need. A lot of times it's all about us, right? Think about the sharing thing, okay? It's hard for us to share, but not for Peter and John. You know, verse 2 introduces us to a man who might have been easy to miss. And in verse 2, again, it says, a man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he could beg from those entering the temple. He was a man who had sat at the same place at the same time every single day. He had been lame from birth, the scriptures tell us, and he had been carried to that place so he could beg for handouts from the large crowd that was entering and hanging out around the temple. You know, perhaps people conditioned themselves to maybe ignore people like him. Sometimes we do that, don't we? Do you have anybody in your life that you see every day that just looks downtrodden? Somebody that maybe needs help and we just kind of walk by them, trying not to pay attention to them because you know that, come on you guys, you know the people that I'm talking about. We all have them in our lives. And that's a struggle, isn't it? To really know when somebody needs help and we don't help them. Why? Share. Maybe it's time, maybe it's money, maybe it's our resources. So I bet you people walk by this guy every single day and never really had anything to do with him. They condition themselves to ignore him, just like we do some people in our lives. You know, when he saw Peter and John, he thought he would ask them for help, and he may not have expected a whole lot from them, okay? At best, a coin. You know, at worst, a rude comment as they walked by and their robes brushed him. But Peter and John, they didn't ignore the man, did they? Quite the opposite. Look in verse 4 again what it says. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." Looking straight at someone, listen, means giving them enough attention, time, and energy to really understand that person and what they need. And so sometimes all it takes is time with people. All it takes to care enough to spend a little bit of time with somebody to really know what they need. You know, Peter and John not only looked at the man, but what they do. They called on him to do the same. "Look at us," they said. "Look at us." You know, this is a great picture in my opinion, and I'm kind of a relational guy. To pay attention to somebody. You know, it's one thing to help somebody and just kind of, hey, here you go. You know, you brush off your plate what you're not using. It's a whole different story to be face-to-face with somebody. And listen, I believe as a church, I believe as Christians in this world today, I believe in this the church in this community, that's what people need from us. Face-to-face. Look at me. Spend time with them. Love them. Encourage them. People don't need the excess stuff on our plate. They need our plate. Amen? Yeah, I thought I was the only one. The man, lame from birth, likely didn't have a clue who Peter and John was, probably, except maybe men that had pockets full of money. His request was for financial help. And the fact that the lame man misunderstood Peter and John didn't stop them from serving him. It's not up to, listen, we've got to keep this mindset. It's not up to us to discern the motives of those who want help. It's up to us to help them. It is. And I know we have to be careful. There are crazies in this world, but you know what? There are crazies in this world that need us. Okay, let's look at the next few verses here. Acts 3, verses 5 and 8. or 5-8, excuse me. So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Then, taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So the second thing, not only do we need to make ourselves available, I believe in this passage we see we have to go in boldness. We have to be bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Boldness that only Christ can give. And you may be asking yourself already this morning, if someone has lost hope, what can I do? What do I have to offer them? Will I have the time and energy to serve? How will I make this whole offering thing, this whole offering hope to others thing work? Do people even want what I have to offer them? But you know what? Listen. The first words Peter said to the man must have seemed like more than a little discouraging. Peter said, I don't have silver or gold. I can't imagine what the man was thinking. He was probably thinking, great, then move along and stop wasting my time. The man thought he needed money. Typically, the thing we think we need is only a symptom of what? The greater problem in our lives, just like this man. The man's need for money was a symptom of his physical disability, which kept him from working. The lame man wanted something to get him through the day, yet he was talking to men who could help him walk again and change his life forever. What Peter and John had to offer the man was sure hope and confidence in that, in the presence and the power of Christ. Listen, we have that same thing for those around us. We have Jesus to share. We have Jesus to share. So I want to challenge you with this, and I want to ask you this question. Who has God placed in your life? Who's that crippled beggar in your life? We all have them, church. We all have them. Who is that crippled beggar in your life right now? And look, there may be a crippled beggar in here today. And a little bit later on in our service, we're going to have an invitation. And listen, if I say this once a week, I say this 100 times. If there is something that we can do for you, today is the day. If you can relate to the crippled beggar's life and not having much and really hurting right now, Jordan and I are going to be down front. Brother Bill's over here. Come see us. We want to help you. We want to help you understand first and foremost what it means to have hope in Jesus Christ. And look, we can help in other ways, but ultimately, the most help that we can give you is to help you understand what it means to have a love relationship with Jesus Christ that is real and that is personal. Amen. Listen, church, we have more to offer than what we think. You can share the hope that you have. Look, that takes courage, though, doesn't it? It takes courage to be bold. It takes courage to make yourself available. It takes courage. It takes courage. I was going to say porridge that time. It takes courage to be bold. But listen, you can do it. Listen to Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. For the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. He will not leave you or abandon you. So listen, courage isn't something that you feel when you're brave. It's when you do the right thing regardless of how you feel. Think about that. It's easy to feel to be courageous when you're brave and you're going into a circumstance or a situation that you know you can handle. Stretch yourself. You know, when we step out in faith to serve others with all that God has given us, amazing things start to happen. Healing begins to take place in both ourselves and others. We become conduits for God's grace to others. And listen, our impact in the world becomes more and more. Okay? More and more. And effect grows greater and greater than we could ever have imagined. Peter told the lame man, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And what did Peter do? He reached down and helped the lame man up. And as he did, the man's feet and his ankles became strong. And what did he do then? He jumped up But that's not all he did. He jumped up and began to praise God in the temple courts. So that leads me to our last point this morning. Listen, when you make yourself available and when you go in boldness, you can impact the community. You can have a community impact. That's what we see happen with this lame man. Look at verses 9 and 10 here. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. Listen, healing the lame man wasn't the end. It was only the beginning. Remember that it was 3 p.m. in the temple complex, and the temple complex was crowded with people gathering for prayer. They all saw this man who was now healed, and in verse 10 again, they were all filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened. The miracle wasn't just about the man, church. It was about the community. So look, like I said earlier, from the insanity of obedience and the four olive branch thing and what God's doing in our church, look, it's not just about us and what He's doing in our lives and in our church. It's about the community and the impact that we can have on the community. It is time. We are ready. You are more equipped and you are more ready than you think you are. And look, I'm saying that and my knees are shaking. If some of you that really know me, you know I'm an introvert. Yeah. You could laugh or something. Please humor me. Look, it scares me to share the gospel. I'm going to be honest. Those kind of things don't come easy to me. Now, I can sit in my office and I can disciple all day long. But when it comes to sharing the gospel and doing door-to-door evangelism and giving gift cards out at Kroger or Walmart, I'm a nervous wreck going into those things. It was all I could do to hold down my breakfast knowing I had to preach today. Look, you can do it. Better yet, you know what? We can do it together. We can. Community impact. Part of the thrill of serving others is seeing the ripple effects that occur in people's a person's life and people's lives as well as our own. Sharing hope with one person has a way of spreading. The reality, listen, is that our choices for better or worse have a ripple effect that we may never fully understand. Church, you have hope in Jesus Christ. As you have received hope, offer it. Offer it to others as much as possible in as many ways as possible. To engage in this adventure is to embark on the only calling worthy of our lives. And it's a calling of hope. Now, I want to just a few quick things, and we're gonna wrap up this morning. And some of you that said, "How long are you going this morning, Charlie?" are real happy with me right now, aren't you? Amen. From the youth. Listen, just three things that I think if you make yourself available, okay, and you're bold with the gospel and how that can have a community impact, but in order to be effective in giving away the hope that only can be found in Jesus Christ, listen, the first thing is you gotta open your heart. Our hearts have to be open. I mean, the days of just gathering up and gathering up and gathering up and worrying about filling the pews and worrying about meeting the budget. Look, I get it. Callie's staring at me big time right now when I said something about that. Listen, we've got to make a kingdom impact. This community needs Jesus. Your neighbors need Jesus. Your doctor needs Jesus. The guy that pumps your gas needs, well, hold on, we don't pump gas anymore, do we? You get it, right? Look, we've got to make a kingdom impact, and God wants to use you. I know He wants to use me. I know what He's doing in my life. And I'm excited. Am I a bit nervous? Yeah, I am. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see what He's going to do. And so I'm praying that way that God will open my heart. For one, how to lead you all, along with Michael and the rest of our staff. But also, where He's going to lead me in this community. And what He's going to lead me to do. And so I want you to pray that way as well. Have an open heart. And you got to open your eyes, right? Because sometimes, again, God brings things to us. And it's up to us to recognize that. It's up to us to make ourselves available. And then the next thing is, don't take this the wrong way, but open your pie hole. Open your mouth. Share the gospel. Engage people. What did Peter say to the crippled man? He said, look at us. Look, sometimes that's all people need. They just need us to pay attention to them. They just need a little bit of love and encouragement. And you're not going to be able to get that if you just walk by and your robes brush them. You've got to engage them. Engage people. Okay? Open your mouth. Start that conversation. And look, you can turn a casual conversation into a witnessing opportunity every day of the week. I've heard some of y'all talk. That was supposed to be funny too. I just can't. You know what I mean? It's time. You know, I hate to show hands, and I don't want to do that today, but I wonder how many of us have never shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. And I'm not talking about saying, hey, I go to First Baptist Church. Where do you go? That's not sharing the gospel. I'm talking about sharing the gospel. Open your heart, open your eyes, and open your mouth. And we're going to, you know, in a few weeks, and the four olive branch thing is not just a lead you thing. This is something we are hoping will last forever, long after we're all gone, to reach out to our community, four olive branch. But you're going to have those opportunities to help us launch that in a few weeks. And on that first Wednesday, March 25th, we're going to gather together and we're going to kind of cast vision even more. So I want you to be a part of that. I do. Come, find out what it's about. Be in prayer about that as you walk in that door, what God has in store for you. Open your heart. Let me pray. We're going to close like this today. Look, if you are... Maybe you're like that crippled beggar in here this morning. And maybe you need some help. Maybe you need some prayer. Maybe there's something we can do for you, okay? Maybe you need Jesus Christ, and today's the day that you really understand that, and God's calling you to come into a relationship with Him. Jordan and I are going to be down front, okay? And maybe you've been visiting our congregation, and today's the day that you feel, you know, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this church and what God's doing here. Okay, and if we could just pray for you about something else, we're going to be down front as well. And so, but I want to challenge you with this. Most of all, in this offering or in this invitation, I really want you to be praying hard about how God can use you. Because some of us are sitting in here now. You never have shared the gospel. You never have really served people around you. And God's pricking on your heart. It takes action when that happens, by the way. When you know God's speaking to you, you can't just let it go. Okay? So, most of all today, if you need some prayer, come see us. If you want to join, come see us. If you want to accept Jesus in your Christ into your heart, come see us. But I want you to pray hard and heavy in your pew today. How can you impact those around you? Let's pray. Lord, I love you. God, I'm so thankful for this scripture, and God, what an amazing story that's so relevant and so practical for us in the day and times that we're living. And Father, I pray for those here today that need you, and I pray, God, that, Father, you just come into their heart, convict them, show them that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, I pray for those that are struggling with sharing their faith, those that are struggling and being bold and making themselves available, God, that today will be a day that they will see your word and practically apply it. So, Father, we lift up this time to you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.